Welcome to the Shutdown Foolcast.
No, that was good. That was good.
Thank you, Jason. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as I am every week, by Jason Kirk, Ryan Nanny, Holly Anderson, and the ones and twos, Michael Serbert. This is all made possible and brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill.
I love Made Possible by Coors Light. It was,
yeah.
For years, when we did it, it was like, I hope Coors Light someday retroactively makes it possible. And they did. They did. That's how cold they got.
Think about what else Coors Light has made possible. Like, we've got Coors Light in our fridges, thanks to Drizzly and/or Instacart. We've got these sick bomber jackets. Coors Light, Coors in general, made Smokey and the Bandit possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of Big Ten conceptions are Coors Light related, right?
That's an interesting question. I'm so glad you brought this up. I watched the latest installation in the Scream franchise over the weekend, which is set in New York City, and Coors has clearly bought out every advertising slot in the entire movie. I had never, Ryan, you're a former New Yorker. I had never really thought of Coors as a New York City brew.
I would say it is not. Like, it not specifically in any way, shape, or form.
What's funny is that the girls in the movie who were in New York moved there from Michigan. So I just assumed that, like the Scream killer, like the Ghostface killer following them from Mission to New York, Coors just followed them as well.
Interesting.
Love that.
I wonder if the chill god of Coors perceives the skyscrapers of large cities as mountains.
Or as large cans, and it's like, mama, like, are skyscrapers the wire mother of the Coors can?
Yeah, if they turn blue, something's gone really wrong, though.
I disagree. Something's gone.
I don't know. Chill. Red is the color you want to watch out for in a Scream movie, Spencer.
That's true.
A lot of people don't know about that.
You know what? If you try to intercept my signals, you know what you're just going to get? Coors Light, baby. That's it. Yeah.
I was going to say static.
Why would those be your signals?
Oh, whatever I'm doing.
You know beer's not made of radio waves, right?
No, but we got COVID boosters, so we got 5G in our teeth now.
Okay. All right. Well.
I don't care what they're made of. The signal's always clear to me, buddy. Crack one.
Ryan, if it doesn't have radio waves, how come it makes you turn up? Think about that.
And that's our show.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. This has been sponsored by Coors Light. I like making it. I like saying "brought to you" like we're Nova, right? Like this presentation.
Oh, I like it. It makes me think of like old.
We're all products of Nova.
The Dick Van Dyke Show, brought to you by Kellogg's.
Yeah.
While you're slapping your wife and telling her to get back to making biscuits, pour some cereal for the kids.
I did not see that episode.
Whoa!
I think Mary Tyler Moore would have. I don't think
either.
She would have stood for
that. No, I'm telling the audience at home, Dick Van Dyke.
Okay.
Dick Van Dyke, owner of the most authentic English accent in cinema.
Yeah, is it Dick Van Dyke is like attempting to like shame his audience out of it? Like, you know, while you're doing that stupid shit,
why don't you have some Kellogg's cereal instead? Maybe you're just hungry.
I'm told Kellogg's will calm you down if you have certain urges. So
college football
those.
Podcast sued by Dick Van Dyke for alleging domestic violence 60 years ago.
It would be an honor. It would be
to be slapped by Dick Van Dyke.
Diagnosis murder star Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
That's a dolphin.
Oh, listen, I'm a stan.
That's a television show where the title came first, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Man rescued by dolphins. Dick Van Dyke.
Have you heard this story?
No.
Dick Van Dyke.
Oh my god. Okay, the Dick Van Dyke dolphin story is my. Listen, there's a long, 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 long list of things to be favorite about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Dick Van Dyke, but the dolphin story is up there.
I just want to note, like, again, this is the audience Coors wants us to pull in. Dick Van Dyke stands in 2023. Pull up a chair. We're here for you.
We're broadening the age range upwards.
That's right.
To the golden age.
Let me give you the greatest headline to ever appear in The Guardian, which is...
Nope, second best. Sorry. Is always going to be American Pie actor Jason Biggs attacked by Gibraltar ape.
Correct. The second is Porpoises Rescue Dick Van Dyke. Mary Poppins star feared death after apparently falling asleep on his surfboard. But friendly sea creatures pushed him to home.
Fell asleep on a surfboard.
When was this?
This was not that long. I mean, he was a senior citizen.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe he was over 80 when he fell asleep on his...
It looks like 2010.
Yes. And he fell asleep, started paddling with the swells, and he saw Finn swimming around him and said, I'm dead!
He was 84 when this occurred.
And it turns out that they were porpoises, and they pushed Dick Van Dyke all the way to shore. My marine allies, the porpoises, pushing Dick Van Dyke. That's, and in Ryan's mind, of course, he was the star of popular 1960s sitcom Alice is Preparing to Murder Ted in His Sleep. This was half of all shows, a wife preparing to murder their useless and abusive husband.
Yeah.
All canceled before their time. Cancellation used to be a lot more straightforward, that's all I'm saying.
So, you know, there's this idea that, like, dogs are the perfect moral judge. Like, you know, if a dog likes you, you're probably pretty cool, you know, that kind of thing. Like, maybe it turns out it was sea mammals all along because, like,
orcas.
Porpoises made a good call here, and orcas have been making some good calls recently as well.
Orcas, you know, in clearly reading the labor market, if nothing else.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of slowed down recently. Are we back in like a
they're recalibrating.
No, that's what I'm asking. Are we in planning meetings for the next
plotting
stage?
Yeah.
This would be a much more efficient way to run our system of justice. Is instead of, like, yes, I understand it's a time-honored tradition that you're tried by a jury of your peers and you have the opportunity to present evidence and confront the witnesses against you and blah 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 blah. But what if instead
of a firing squad,
we just were like, okay,
we're going to drop you in this tank.
Jenna Ellis, we are putting you in the ocean, and we're letting the ocean decide what to do with you. And
we're giving you a floaty. We're giving you a floaty.
Yeah, we're not trying to drop. It's not.
This isn't a witch trial. We're letting the whales decide.
We're letting the ocean decide whether or not you are guilty. And we will abide by the ocean's decision.
Maybe without a floaty, because we don't want to add trash to the ocean and we're already putting Jenna Ellis in it.
What if it's some sort of, like, dissolving floaty?
Yeah.
Time release floaty.
No, they do make like compost bags, composting bags now that have the
compost Jenna Ellis.
With their biodegradable. Listen, find a better use for her than being milled into a nutritious paste.
I'm just saying, you know, our courts are all backed up.
Mm-hmm.
The ocean is wide open.
Yeah,
and
there's
tons
lots of
whales. Yeah, we are job creating for orcas.
So, like, there's an Ernest Hemingway quote about that. You know, it basically comes out to, like, hey, but I'm not a fascist. And the idea is, like, well, you'll find out whether you're one or not. I just like the idea that this lady who was involved in a plot to overturn the U.S. government was probably the girl in high school. You're like, oh, she's so nice.
No fucking way was she nice in high school.
You know? I'm gonna tell you this. No.
No.
That's as far as I can comment at this time.
Oh.
You bringing up Ernest Hemingway also made me think of something that I know he probably didn't write, For Sale, Baby Shoes Never Worn.
Yeah.
But the idea, like, let's assume that he did. And the idea, like, wow, this is the saddest story ever. That's only true if you've never tried to put shoes on a baby. Babies don't want to wear
shoes. Yeah, most baby shoes aren't worn.
Yes.
For Sale, Baby Shoes, Asshole Baby.
Yeah, right. There's nothing sad about this. It's just normal.
Shoes fucking suck, though, so I stand with the baby on, like, our bare feet together, even though they can't stand.
Sorry, one more thing. At the bottom, Jenna Ellis is very young, and at the not as young as she would like you to think. She's 38. And at the very bottom of her lengthy Wikipedia page, long for a young person, there's a link that just says Crime Portal.
Sounds badass.
Damn.
See, maybe it's not all bad.
I've entered the crab portal.
The U is back.
I felt like her ceiling before then would be, like, loses her position on the HOA after getting her third consecutive DUI that year.
Crab portal sounds like the unlicensed remake of Time Cop.
Like,
which in itself,
my three-step morning, get ready with me. One, I go to Starbucks and I get my little latte with 37.
Two, I fill it with gin.
Yeah, with
three, I summon the crime portal.
Two, I go to Orange Theory. Three, summon crime portal.
Shit, we're making her cool. We're falling into that trap where they're like, Joe Biden's going to give everybody $1,000 a year and make new jobs.
Unions. He's going to give you gay tacos.
I'm like, oh,
sweet.
Please don't put me in that taco stand filled briar patch.
All I'm saying is we turn the ocean into crime portal. You go in and we see if you come out or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have news for you about your Ocean's plans for you. It's great, not going to go
great. Here,
well.
Oh, here comes swimming here, expert. Here comes Spencer Hall.
I know what his plans Poseidon. For me are.
Poseidon's landlocked bastard.
I'm going to be...
All right, beach professor, lay some knowledge on me.
I'm going to be a festive tchotchke on the bottom in about 12 minutes.
Yeah, but you're going to be so well preserved.
Yeah.
God, that should be the next charity bowl challenge. Spencer swims the English Channel.
Let's start with Spencer swims an Olympic pool.
Yeah, come on, brother. Let's scale this back a little bit.
300 beers.
If the dolphins want you to survive, you will.
How about I swim the courtyard pool channel first? There.
Okay. All right.
Okay, but one end of it has to be 8 feet.
We can arrange that, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. How tall are you? One even enough to be 6 feet.
Hey, speaking of crime portals.
Guess who else entered the crime portal?
We need the sound of a slamming jail door to go with that song.
The Scandal Mitten.
Those who tape will be champions.
Hail to recording signals.
The tape.
Right off the bat, we all agree that them winning the title is the funniest possible thing that happens here, right?
It's
on the list. On very the short list. Yeah. Very, very short list.
Hail to the
Conestallions. I mean, if they were Ohio State, they would give themselves a bowl ban for this year. But, you know, they don't have that kind of honor.
I'm also delighted that Michigan scandal involves SeatGeek. It's like just fucking.
I sort of feel like the Ohio State version is to pay 100 guys to stand up the entire game holding old timey cameras that you crank. Mm-hmm. Like, look at us. Look, you said we're cheating. Yeah, well, now we're cheating loud.
There's Burtis riding on a penny farthing.
But it's not Ohio State implicated in this scandal.
No, Ohio State didn't do anything.
That would
be we're hypothetically pretending what it would be like if Ohio State cheated as badly as Michigan did.
So let's
allegedly.
Let's catch the listeners up. Who wants to take the task of explaining this unnamed scandal? It's not going to be anything gate because we're just not going to do that.
No, no.
Who wants to take this one?
Sorry, I started trying to think of a scandal name.
How do we decide
name.
Who wants it?
I started trying to think of a scandal name and I got lost.
Spencer, let's let you try, and then when you fuck up, we'll jump in. How about that?
That seems to be the usual way of doing things, so I am 100% on board with doing this. Here's everything we know about how we got here, talking about a man named Connor Stallions. Okay? Michigan is alleged to have collected signs from other teams over a span of 30 games. At least 30 games from 11 different Big Ten teams.
Bogazi?
Keep going. I'm going to go through the facts. You just keep riffing. Right. We're going
to
get it.
It doesn't feel great. Okay.
Okay.
Harbaquitic was the only other thing that immediately came to mind, but I'm going to keep digging.
Now, why would this be an issue if it's perfectly legal to try to interpret the signs offered by opposing teams? Well,
Little Brown Jug Dumb Scandal.
Keep going. I like it.
Okay.
You cannot under NCAA bylaw 11.6.1. You cannot scout games in person. That is illegal. And according to this Michigan Daily article that's helping me get through this without sounding like a complete fucking moron, the exact phrasing of the rule is that it prohibits off-campus in-person scouting of future opponents. Okay? Didn't say anything about past opponents, motherfucker. Bang! Out! Second...
I'm bringing Time Cop back into this already. We talked about this.
You can't record video of opponents, other games like that, in Section 4, Article 11, which, if you want to get real picky here, any attempt to record, either through audio or video means, any signals given by an opposing player, coach, or other personnel is prohibited. Now, there's some wiggle room with that one, but I will fucking spare you the legal nitpicking that goes on there, because these aren't even real laws. They're NCAA rules.
Well, they're very real.
They're very real.
Okay. They're the laws of the game. And what's higher than the game?
The team.
From the Michigan perspective, they were real until like 5 days ago.
Yes. Yes, this has been going on for quite a while. I enjoy the people who have preempted any, well, he didn't have that much to do with the team, by showing photos of him, images of him, Connor Stallions, the GA who's alleged to have done this, standing next to Harbaugh on the sidelines. So that's a bit of a non-starter that he was not, you know, that this is just a guy. Well, no, I mean, he's
we have to recast him as the Waluigi and not the Wario of Todd Scallions because he got caught.
And if you want to know what kind of a crime this is, it's a real fucking dumb one, because, and one that Stallions himself steered into by putting things on his LinkedIn, like his strengths being identifying the opponent's most likely course of action and most dangerous course of action. Additionally, identifying or exploiting critical vulnerabilities and centers of gravity in the opponent's scouting process.
So right there, is that a good spot to what we know about Mr. Stallions being a former Marines employee? I think it's a good term. And that has since been LinkedInified through football world into like a personality based around like opint and sig int and various ints that just mean knowing shit. It's like this repackaging of Marine military whatever that we see a lot in our country that is then turned into like army business that you can use not in the army, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I know how we feel about it, but what about Wolvergate?
I will say this: put it in the pile. All right. I think it makes the pile. It's still not great. Right.
Jail to the victors.
God damn it. There it is.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Imagine if Jim Harbaugh was imprisoned in actual jail for this.
There are a number of things that are known at this point, including that Stallions was full-time as of May 2022. Before that, he was volunteering for the staff, and that this is okay. Where did Ryan go?
Ryan?
He's gone. We'll get through this. He'll be back.
I'm trying to come up with something with Iran-Contra, and I can't get there.
Yes, there we go. Okay, so that I believe largely gets us to what was done. And what has been reported out across various...
Oliver, team up north.
I like that one.
That sounded sarcastic, but it wasn't. I was just trying... Whoa! Hey, girl! She's on the outside, Spencer. It's fine.
Now, this leads to the...
Iran counter.
God! Thank you!
For 4.5 yards.
This leads to, like, a couple of... real obvious questions. One, what did Jim Harbaugh know?
When did he know it? And how did he know it? And what did he do about it?
Now, this doesn't really matter, because if the NCAA wants to punish Harbaugh, they have...
Oh, it's not even want. It's they're very clear about this. They've changed the rules in recent years where the head coach is presumed to... All wrongdoing is basically attributable to the head coach. Whether they knew about it, whether they sanctioned it, like, is immaterial in that determination.
They have a green light to do it anyway. Yeah.
They got sick of parsing who was at fault for what, and did this coach technically skate, and, like, it feels bad to punish players, because it should feel bad to punish players, but, like... Yeah, they've sort of realized, oh, this guy making $10 million, we can blame him for shit.
Well, especially because, like, you don't get to be like, I am the mastermind. I am the chess master.
Mm-hmm. Which is what happens when they hire you. Like, right. Which is why you were hired.
Every detail of this program, I have a binder on to make it be the most powerful football machine in human existence. They'll be like, I didn't know he was going to game. I didn't know he was doing this.
All of that said,
football boy just calling plays.
And yet, all of that said, we know how Jim Harbaugh feels about recruiting.
Okay.
Like, the reason I might buy a scenario in which Harbaugh didn't know about this is because he is famous for getting his recruiting guys into a room perilously close to signing day and saying, okay, who are all these guys?
Yeah.
Like, he's not, it's not that I think that he would deliberately wall himself off from such a scenario. It's that I'm not entirely sure he's interested in things that are not football field.
Well, I think I at this point, what I believe most, this is not a statement of fact, this isn't even a statement of faith or anything, this is like what seems most plausible to me is that Harbaugh probably didn't know the extent to which Stallions, that's his name, was doing these things, and possibly not even that he was making these trips at all. Yeah. I find that plausible. Harbaugh, with his intense devotion to competition and so forth, I could see that. That said, if it happened, yeah, you got to hit him regardless.
Oh, totally. Like, he needs to be held responsible for his, like, I fully believe that it's plausible that he didn't know about this, but you are hired to be the person, like, if he didn't know about this, he should have.
Yeah, I think we can.
So either way, you gotta do something.
I think we can ask the listener to hold those two ideas in their head.
Well, because this is why you can't, and this is always the great separation. You hire these guys to be like, you know, I will be in charge of every second, every micro thing about this team, and you can't just say like, oh, take backs when it's inconvenient for you.
Yeah, if you told me Nick Saban didn't know, I'd be like, bullshit. If you told me Jim Harbaugh didn't know, I'm like, maybe.
If I didn't know how, it's like. If you told me, for example, Dana didn't know, Dana doesn't know the names of his own players on defense. Right?
You mean Chad Heffers?
Let's call these guys the
Stallions. I thought that bar burned down.
God damn!
I should call her.
Barb and I sure burned it down. I'm trying to think of these guys, the natural born delegators.
Another thing we might as well put out here. If Jim Harbaugh did not know about this and did not suspect it, at least some of it, and this is a little bit Jim, it's a little bit Michigan, it's a little bit all of it, is the like, we hire the best. Of course we're getting the best information on what our opponents are doing. Not because we're cheating, but because we're smarter and we work harder than the rest of you.
Also, so this guy was that good, right? Like, you just thought he was naturally cracking these codes, and you were paying him $55,000.
Also, you thought Greg Schiano was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that's a key thing in here. Everyone believed without question that Greg Schiano wouldn't have changed his codes.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. Additionally, there's this. There's the fun part where this is of the product, organizationally, of someone who was taking a shortcut because they weren't doing their work. Like, that's what this is. This is the guy who's like, oh shit, I don't have anything for the staff meeting.
Right.
Better hit SeatGeek. Oh god.
We should lay out for the listener as well. It's not as if stealing signs or looking at like tape that you are given of an opponent is against the rules. The NCAA is not out here saying like, no, under no circumstances can you. And there are like Brent Venables is widely known to be somebody who during a game is very good at figuring out what the opponent's signals are attempting to do. And the NCAA doesn't say like, no, this is like completely against the rules. It's just how you go about acquiring this information, and yeah, go ahead.
That has to be so goddamn irritating, but just to be like, make him stop looking. And I was like, I'm in your head. I can see it.
I have been asked a couple times about like, I guess generally why this advanced scouting thing is illegal. And like the original argument was it's a cost equalizing thing. We're like, yeah, Alabama could afford to send 10 scouts to every upcoming opponent's games, whereas small schools couldn't. And the funny part of that is like, since fucking when do we care about equitable competition based on who can afford what?
Yeah.
We do when we can like nibble at the edges. Like, it's
right.
Because they don't actually want to. Their goal is not actually to level the playing field. Their goal is to make themselves feel better about having made a gesture.
It's like how we just banned like oh, you can't do elaborate photos with recruits on campus. That will solve everything. Yeah.
Their actual goal is not to equalize terms between the schools. Their actual goal is to assuage themselves that they have done something.
So this
then to use the photo thing here, if what we have read is true, this is like if a Michigan staffer was like, you know what? What if we published a yearbook of cool recruits every year?
Honestly, to an extent, I sympathize with Connor Stallions, right? Like, he's coming into this world where he's like, I'm coming from outside of sports into sports. I want to impress people. I want to do a great job. I want to become a football coach, right? I'm reading a lot of things into his ambitions, but, like, that seems to be and that's a hard path, right? And he's working his ass off, traveling around the country, apparently, possibly on his own dime.
Insider trading is not easy work.
For not a lot of money.
Hey, crime requires hustle, you know?
Some crime does not.
And, like, you know, there's probably a scenario where he thinks, like, I am just whooping ass, going above and beyond. My boss likes me, whoever his boss might have been. And now, entire scapegoat for this whole thing. That fucking sucks.
I don't think he'll end up being the entire... Because, all right, I have...
To this point, the scapegoat.
I do have an end game. I think I could see where this is going. and it's not going to be a place Michigan fans like at all. Okay, and that's even if the NCAA really doesn't sort of come down hard on them, which I don't think they will for reasons that I will also explain. But this is, to me, one of those moments where we should go ahead, take the needle and pop the bubble of the coach management cult. Because there are books written about this, about what everyone can learn from coach management. These are the books that you see given to 1,000 dads across the country, which are, hey, life's a lot like sports, and here's why. Okay, do you know what happens when you take college football staffs and you bloat them to the point where there are all of these GAs and consultants and volunteers, and you make them these big, bulky organizations overnight? And I think we've seen this at Florida with Billy Napier, that one of the complaints is that, man, you got too many people, you don't know what they're doing. That is not only Florida's problem. It is impossible to take all of these like staffs and blow them up overnight over the past 5 years and know what anyone's doing. Like this is very much the Avengers scene where they go, that guy over there, he's playing Space Invaders. I saw it, right? Like, that happens in big organizations. The minute that, like, staff size goes over X, whatever that is, like 25, 30, they're just people that you have to trust are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And most of these guys are so busy that their oversight of this is negligible. Like, it's just not possible. The dude who is the biggest control freak in the business, probably doesn't know what everyone's doing. And if Nick Saban doesn't know what everyone's doing, I for sure as hell could buy that Jim Harbaugh, you know, who is responsible for this ultimately, I could also buy that he has no idea what those guys are doing. None. But I do think I know where this is going, and I think it's Harbaugh leaving. You know
why?
Okay, here's why. Because one,
tiniest bit of friction is why.
Yeah, the tiniest bit of friction. Every other year we get the rumor that Harbaugh is looking at the NFL, which are legit, and which interviews that he will show up for, and then of course immediately fuck up because he's a terrible interviewer.
He's
very weird.
Last time how it happened, if I recall correctly, it was because he wanted to tear down a museum on campus that some blue-blooded old money family had built there to build a bowling alley for the players.
Yeah.
I really don't think I might be conflating two stories, but I really don't think I'm making that up. At one point, he threatened to leave over a bowling alley.
Yeah. Additionally, I do think, like, I think the desire to go back to the NFL is real. If for no other reason than the dude got to a Super Bowl and then lost it and now has to go to Thanksgiving every single year and have his brother sit across the table with that big ring on his hand. And you might say, man, that sounds petty and cartoonish. Hi, we're talking about football coaches, and in particular talking about Jim Harbaugh. You go, but he loves Michigan. I have no doubt of that, but a football coach's love extends to their ego first and their alma mater second at best. So I think this is an out, particularly if the NCAA wants to go ahead and even wrist slap Harbaugh, because as we've seen, even a wrist slap feels like a sledgehammer blow to Jim Harbaugh when it comes to dealing with anything NCAA related.
Let's counterpoint this ever so slightly.
Okay.
Number one, The friction that got Jim Harbaugh to Michigan in the first place was in professional football. He did not get along with management and ownership at the San Francisco 49ers, despite being extremely successful as a coach there.
Someone didn't get along with Jed York. Wow. Okay.
Where is, like, what is the franchise where Jim Harbaugh is going to go and enjoy a frictionless existence?
Nowhere. Nowhere. That man generates friction everywhere. That to
Nowhere,
me.
But it's not here.
Yeah.
But do you think there is some part of Jim Harbaugh that understands that when you go to the NFL, the head coach, even at the New England Patriots, is not at the top of the food chain? And to some extent, at some college programs, including Michigan, it's a lot closer to that relationship.
He wants 3 years. Give him 3 years. That's all he wants.
I mean, I guess the way I see it, there's a version of the story where he took the job at his alma mater and restored them to quite possibly a national title, and mm-hmm. then returns, you know, having restored this big part of his story, he then returns to the line of work that he believes is worthy of him, right? Like, that's one version of the story. The other version is running away from the NCAA, and, like, I mean, it's Pete Carroll all over again. Mm.
Yeah, that is another one. And by the way, like, to me, far more probable at the time than Pete Carroll, because, you know, I thought Pete was good. I thought Pete was settled, and then Pete left.
But Pete also knew that there were going to be consequences coming, not just to his legacy or whatever, but that would compromise his ability to win at USC.
Yeah.
Like, everything Lane Kiffin had to deal with in terms of scholarship reductions and this, that, and the other, like, that was what Pete Carroll was like, oh, I don't want to do that. That yeah. sounds bad.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, to some extent, you know, who knows what the NCAA will do? Like, I would bet on them doing something at this point. And if, like, if it's so big that, you know, the Big Ten is distributing evidence among teams and warning teams about each other and all that shit, like, that's a big fucking deal. To me, the Big Ten communicating with Michigan State about it, that to me is a more alarming thing than the NCAA. I don't know what the Big Ten can do to Michigan. Tell them they're not worth, you know, eligible for the Big Ten title game or what have you. Withhold some TV money or whatever. But that to me is more alarming than the NCAA. And the NCAA might do a lot, right? And there's not only that. There's also this title team. There's a lot of guys leaving. Like, this is the year it was all building toward, right? Your quarterback's leaving. You might have several other day one, day two draft picks. Like, this is the team. If this one...
the team.
Why build the team? Like, if everything sucks and fake cops are yelling at you all the time, and you could instead just go get a couple months off of year as an NFL coach,
mm-hmm.
why not do that?
Again, we're saying, I, Ryan, your suggestion that they're not thinking this through is not incorrect, but also this is just like human nature. You know, you don't break up with your girlfriend because you think you're never going to have problems with this next one, but in the moment it sure feels like it, right?
Yes. I guess what I'm curious about is, at this point, like, if you are an owner and you're like, okay, Jim Harbaugh clashed with Jed York, but maybe we can put that on Jed York. Now, Jim Harbaugh had a lot of, like, weird internal friction at Michigan, not necessarily to the same level and not necessarily, like, major problem status. There is something to, like, is this just going to be a pain in the ass?
So you're not so much saying why would Harbaugh want to leave, you're saying why would they want Harbaugh?
I think if the goal is to find, like, a good partnership, mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. there are things on both sides of this that make that tricky. That's,
you know, what's
all
really funny though? There's, like, there's this whole other thing where it's like, man, the Ravens are so good right now.
Yeah,
that guy's brother is
how
available.
Much? How much of that do you think is pushing this?
I honestly think a lot.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to start off in a different direction before I had a I don't think Ryan. I'm not saying you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I am saying about the NFL owners. What I do think is that each and every one of these guys, because of where they are, because of the position they are in. Sorry, two ladies, whatever. Sorry, ladies, because of the position they're in, because of the amount of wealth they've accumulated, and because of the operation they built around them, they all think they're built different. If they want Jim Harbaugh, they will construct a scenario it for themselves and do their best by throwing money at it to make it manifest in the real world where they can make this work for them.
Oh, the Broncos brought in Sean Payton. They were like, this will just fix everything. Uh-huh. This will, everything's going to be awesome.
And it worked. It worked, Ryan.
Yeah, it's going really great. I love watching it. Ryan, I think you're right that like a rational NFL owner would need to do some serious soul searching for making this decision.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Harbaugh to the Cowboys.
And there's no such
thing. There might be four or five of those.
Yeah. I mean, just to remember, to clarify his relationship globally.
I mean, let's think about guys we otherwise think we respect. Let's talk about Khan.
Yeah.
Who'd he hire?
Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson. That's right.
Super Bowl winner Doug Peterson.
Listen,
Jim Harbaugh is all elite.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a weirdly protective streak for Doug Peterson, like he's my three-legged dog.
Same.
You should.
Same.
I'm like, don't laugh at him.
He brings his players ice cream. He coaches
the Jaguars school. Actually look pretty good this season.
I know.
People really like Doug, you know? Like if Jason Kelce likes somebody, I'm like, they got to be pretty good. Jason Kelce like those fucking great guy, Doug Peterson. Did he get fired? Yeah, great dude, though. If you run into an asshole in the morning, then you ran into an asshole. But if you run into assholes all day, you're Jim Harbaugh. That's him at every organization.
There we go.
And I am using his language. And it's probably worse in the NFL because he doesn't even have to worry about being likable in recruiting. I'm sure it's terrible. But I think that's still on the table for him. And if he's got all these aggravating, nagging factors at Michigan, you know, and he already wanted to leave, then that's a great time for everybody to sort of part ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my.
I am mostly interested at this point to see what, if anything, the Big Ten is going to do. Because the NCAA is slow moving fairly toothless at this point. I do think that part of what they are trying to do, to the extent that they are behind leaks, is kind of like, I think the NCAA is not happy with how things went with Tez Walker and UNC. Like, Mack Brown, like, cutting promos on you multiple times, calling you
opposing teams, fans chanting to have him put, like,
they've got that happening.
And even they put out this press release that was like, we got yelled at.
Like, every elected official in the state of Virginia is like,
we
will burn the NCAA to the ground if you don't let JMU play in a bowl game.
Have you guys seen the statement that the Virginia Senate pro tem president put out?
Yeah.
It was both parties.
Right.
Both.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They've united fucking Virginia.
They've gone to Congress and Ted Cruz has been mean to them, which didn't seem like
congratulations to the Texas Rangers, by the way.
I think this is a very easy way for the NCAA to be like, aha, sometimes we are still powerful. Sometimes we can still scare you. And I think that's a little bit of it. But
his dick still wiggles.
But like, so much of this is so clearly caught up in.
It doesn't swing, but it twitches.
The thing that makes this, I think, different from like a recruiting scandal is that when recruiting scandals happen, most of the other teams involved in the conference or in the nation are sort of like, we're not necessarily going to push too hard on this because we know our dirt. We know that we have our own skeletons and there is a little bit of mutually assured destruction. We are not really interested in getting into an all-out war. Except in extreme cases, when you have a team where you're like, okay, they're dropping so many bags, so sloppily, so plentifully that like we feel this breaches that. The rest of the Big Ten seems very pissed right now and very eager to like get a pound of flesh, and it's not just to put this in unkind terms. It's not just like Purdue and Maryland who are like, this isn't okay. What happened wasn't fine here. Ohio State is pissed. Ohio State is very clearly pissed. Penn State is probably pissed. Like, I am interested to see if this reaches a point, I don't know if it's there yet, where the Big Ten feels like we have to step in and do something.
I think Washington should demand that Michigan be kicked up. So, like, let's keep in mind here that
to
just
make
a few
room
years
for Washington
ago,
State.
The Big Ten changed its rules during the season so that Ohio State could go to the conference title game. Mm. They are not above changing the rules so that Ohio State can go to the conference title game.
Mm-hmm.
Again, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a delight to me when people get
that
very...
would be funnier than Michigan winning the title.
That would be so fucking
I mean, there's
and then the playoff committee can say, okay, you're both going to the playoffs.
The Big Ten, I assume, is very much hoping that unless this case completely turns around, that like Michigan doesn't present a problem. I think they would be happier if Ohio State or Penn State won the East.
So Michigan drop one to Indiana or whoever. No, you're
not Indiana.
I can never
remember. Won't be Indiana.
Maryland? I don't know. Drop a really
Maryland.
Bad one.
Yeah, Maryland.
There we go.
Just drop something terrible and then like, oh, look, see, clearly we weren't scouting shit. I know, then it looks like, oh, you're without your
security. Oh, you got caught.
Blanket.
You didn't have what you
actually,
need.
Yeah, now that I think about it, you better win more now.
So
There were three teams that they did not scout, and I want to know who they
two,
were.
Two, yeah, yeah.
I don't,
all right,
wait,
now we
got to
play a different kind of schedule.
I don't think that's true, because the other thing that came out in the most recent report about Connor Stallions is that he had purchased tickets, and again, all of this
Connor
is like
Stallions.
All of this is based on
Stallions Wilden.
He was buying this stuff on. He was buying tickets on StubHub and SeatGeek, and then just sending them. And this is all very traceable. And
is it?
Like,
is it perhaps just two West opponents they haven't played in the last couple years?
I looked, and I don't think there are that many of those either. But because he bought tickets to Ohio State, Penn State on both sides. Like, it seems like they probably have scouted everybody. They just sort of figured out, like, oh, we can save on travel by making sure we go get.
Yeah, you see, Coach, I'm frugal.
Illinois, Iowa, when they play one another.
But then I'll put it in my personal name, so it's very traceable because my OPSEC fucking sucks.
Because I want.
The part of this that, like, it's so disappointing that Michigan, you've cheated in this.
You have such a rich war history, and this is what it may also be in its own way an equalizer, because if you have not spent, there are a few great truisms that resonate across every college athletic program, no matter the size. And I'm saying this with all the love and affection that we cover the United States Marine Corps with. The GA room is a fucking Muppet Babies ward. I mean this with absolute all love. It is like a room full of large dogs who are sent on errands to do things. And they, you know, they sleep in piles and they pee on everything. But, like, think about how old these people are, and think about what you were doing at that age, first of all.
Yeah.
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 Peeing on things.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. And, like, this is...
Sleeping wherever. Like, literally, like, guess I sleep on the ground tonight.
Oh, I slept on a surfboard again.
Yeah.
Thank you, porpoises.
This is, I dislocated my shoulder because I fell asleep face down in a beanbag.
It happens.
Age. But this is, it might hurt Michigan more to have everybody know that their GAs are just like everybody else's GAs.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck did y'all read all them war books for if you don't
and
know
again,
how, like,
and again,
camouflage
affection.
Works?
So much affection.
There's going to be some Michigan man who defends this. Like, this is actually an example of the British hiding in plain sight strategy.
I thought that too. Yeah.
They slip through Rutgers' ticket window like the swamp fox.
Oh, yes. That's what they should have done. They should have been like, actually, we were all doing this to show you the holes in your security, and we meant no harm whatsoever.
Now I'm
blue
just,
hat hackers.
Now I'm just imagining one of them sitting alone in a section in the stands, but wearing a ghillie suit and remaining perfectly motionless.
I just
how not to
the
be
ghillie
seen.
Suit. The ghillie suit is listen. If okay,
a
here.
Blue and yellow ghillie suit.
Yes, it's blue not, like a pom pom.
You're not cool or clever enough.
Oh my god, he made it
like
out
the
of
Sesame
pom-poms.
Street Martians.
Like Snuffleupagus.
He made it out of the shakers blue. That they put in the student section.
Ohio State fans, here's what one of you needs
y'all,
to
if
do.
If you think I'm telling jokes, you have not met enough GAs.
You need to take a ghillie suit, paint it blue and yellow, and sit there with binoculars in the stands during the game. Okay, and because that would be funny. You won't do it.
But not during the Michigan, not during the Ohio State Michigan game, during another Ohio State.
During another Ohio State game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you need to have
get it, your ass beat
to drive the point home. Take a Michigan hat and put it on over the ghillie suit. Okay.
God, the Stanford band would go full Mission Impossible with this.
Oh, yeah, oh God,
we need them.
They lowered the tree in by helicopter.
That's ACC legend Stanford. Unfortunately, so we
won't be able. The best part of all this is the other question I've seen is like, why don't they just put fucking speakers in the quarterback's helmet like a normal sport? And it's like,
and we're back to why don't they put chips in the fucking ball?
Like, yeah, there's so many little things we could have done
tennis
a
has
decade
this.
Ago.
But then we wouldn't have this.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
That's true.
And the other funny thing, Chris Vanini wrote about it a couple of days ago, about the Big Ten is actually experimenting with it.
In bowl games?
They were already planning to experiment with this exact thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, now you see, you want to do something impressive, intercept that signal. That's real SIGINT. Baby.
Yeah. You want to be
such
a smart school.
Now is Purdue's time to fucking shine.
The worst thing about this for some portion of Michigan fans.
There's no bad part of this.
No, there will be for some Michigan
fans. For them, yes, okay.
And that's going to be the shadow. Because when you have a specific player who you violated recruiting regulations to get, or you have a coach who was persistently violating off-field rules in some way, you can kind of quarantine it. You can kind of say, like, here is the result of the violation that we caused. But this is, like, so amorphous, and it permeates so many games of the Jim Harbaugh turnaround that it will just hang there.
Like, and it's so
for a
instant.
Long time. Yes.
Like, the other thing about a recruiting scandal is, like, it might take 3, 4, 5 years before you learn whether it even mattered or not at that point. Who cares? This is like, we're talking about shit that could have happened in the past 3 to 10 days, right?
Yeah. Right. And whether fairly or not, it's going to cast a shadow on everything Michigan has done for the last 2+ years. And some schools wouldn't care about that. If this happened at Auburn, Auburn fans wouldn't care. They'd be like, I don't care if we cheated. We beat Bama.
If this happened at Bama, they wouldn't care.
There is a certain kind of Michigan fan who is going to care. And Jim Harbaugh might be that kind of Michigan fan, is part of the problem. Is the idea that victory is tainted or compromised or illegitimate in some way is going to link. It just is.
It's going to drive him mad.
Yeah.
Like we're past driven crazy. We're going to drive him old school mad.
It's like he's going to have to live in an attic.
Yeah.
It's like a Bronte novel.
He's going to have bats flying around him and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially because this is not the team, like they've run the ball 295 times and they've passed 196 times. This is the kind of team where they go, well, we have advanced knowledge of the team's defense. Do you know who's not going to care? Jim Harbaugh. Jim will be like, we're running this anyway. Carefully, like, here's the kind of front they're lining in, coach. And he's like, attack! Like, this is not the most, I'm not saying they're not sophisticated, but when you run the ball like they do, the level of knowledge you have to have about fronts and coverages, it's not quite important.
But none of that matters because this is a world where outcome has no bearing on wrongdoing.
Right.
Like, we have seen the
like
NCAA.
Both these are going to happen, but they're completely decoupled from one another.
The UNC football team that I think Butch Davis was the coach of that got hammered for some recruiting blah-bitty-blah.
Yeah.
Was a bad team. Like, you don't have to be good. You don't have to show, like, oh, well, clearly you benefited from this, and this is the advantage that it created for you. It is just, it's all traffic court. It's all, like, the number said this, and you were doing this +7. Yeah. And that's all. And it doesn't matter if you were by yourself. And it doesn't matter if you, like, didn't cause any harm to anybody else. No. It's all traffic court, and that's the system that has been very important to a lot of Michigan people. That's the system that's certainly been important to Jim Harbaugh. That's the other part. It's like, in the same way that Hugh Freeze, part of his downfall was based on the, please send an email to compliance.
Sir! Sir!
You invited it. You invited it.
Yes, when you build yourself up as like, not only do I follow the rules, I care about the rules deeply more than other people. When it goes this way, it feels different.
Yeah.
It just feels different.
And that's not just Harbaugh. That's Michigan,
no,
Big Ten.
Like, sure.
I want to be specific. I'm not saying that's all coaches. I'm saying no. That's Harbaugh and his town and his university and his conference, and then it's also all these others.
I believe you just said that it means more to them.
Oh, goodness. Because
you know what actually means more is winning fucking football games. No one will ever say you care less than the SEC. We all know you care exactly as much. Often, when it comes to financials, more than, yes, you care more than the SEC, Big Ten.
I think we should also acknowledge that there are some winners in all of this. Number one, Ohio State. This is great for you. Like, finally, you get to have a day in Michigan's best year where the tables get to flip.
1A is Godfrey.
1A is Godfrey. Somewhere on this list, Clemson. I'm sorry to say it with our friend Michael Serber here, but like, Clemson just lost to a maybe fine Miami team starting their backup, and nobody gives a shit because the Michigan story is like the main topic of discussion.
Michigan State bumped down the scandal list for a few minutes.
Yeah, the Hitler thing still happened. Michigan State.
Sorry.
It took us an hour to get to it.
You're right.
Do we have an update?
Yeah, real. Keep talking. I'll get it.
Oh, so is this about how the?
No. Hang on. It's okay, a very short update.
Okay. I have a thought on that update once we get to it.
First of all, they suspended the employee who put the trivia thing.
That employee's name. Connor Stallions.
We need
My
to come
God,
up with
he's every he's everywhere.
The we need to come up with another name for that guy.
Stoner Callions.
I like Omar Scallions. Let's call him Omar Scallions. Okay. Future Auburn staffer. Because I guarantee you, by the way, Connor Stallions is getting some sort of black bag job.
Alright, sorry, here we go. This was sent to us by reader Hockey Bear, as always. The Dutch YouTube quiz creator has denounced Michigan State in the comments. And here it is. Here it is, the quiz channel himself. To be clear, I was unaware Michigan State University is using my content for stadium entertainment, and this was unsolicited and unauthorized use, a random history trivia question in an inappropriate setting.
Do you know, by the way?
Wait. Hold on. Consider the alternative.
You got Dutched.
Consider the alternative where this YouTuber is like, oh no, Michigan State Legal came to me and got a license to use this. Yeah. That's way worse.
Yeah, it could have been worse, guys.
Do you know how out
they
of
They said,
pocket-
can you add a Hitler question, please?
Well, Spock's cool, but Hitler's more of what we want our audience to get.
Do you know how out of pocket you have to be for a Dutch YouTuber to be like, yeah, that's not PC.
Yeah, that person seems some insane shit. Yeah.
Dutch person would know a little bit about proper places to reference warlords of World War II.
Yeah, this is their expertise.
It's summer, Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals, and at Kauffman Stadium. Just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
You know who else this is good for? Like, really good for? It's great for James Franklin. Because, which,
bless his heart, he could use some. He could use a break.
Because life is nothing but good for James Franklin, and at every point, timing has benefited him from the start. I got so sort of heated, upset, confused watching Penn State give absolutely nothing during the Ohio State game.
It was angry, confused. It was like a toddler. I felt like a toddler with an earache.
Right.
Like, I couldn't make what he was doing stop, and I couldn't explain it.
Yes, and I had no power in the situation whatsoever to avert or
change. I needed olive oil poured inside
thing.
Me.
Watching them do nothing, it goes, like, how did we get here? That made me just sort of wonder, okay.
Why are you doing this? The Penn State fans assumed that we weren't going to do this today. We're just going to talk
why?
About Michigan a little
spoiler. Why would they assume that?
This what, not on a swivel. I hold this knife in my hand at all times. There are no surprises.
I understand.
Okay. But
the times
I did,
when Spencer doesn't pretend to be nicer than the rest of us are rare, but they do happen.
I did want to go through and just sort of like tally up the remarkable and charmed life of James Franklin and how we got to this point and how this man has managed to build an entire $10 million a year empire based off of a lifetime of beating the pre-Mark Stoops Renaissance Kentuckys and bad Rutgers teams of the world. Okay.
All right.
Bad Rutgers teams.
Yes.
Of the world.
This is how he's done it. Okay. If you'll remember, this guy was known in Maryland as
a
recruiter.
This guy.
No one really said, "Hey, that's the guy you should put in charge of shit." They were like, "No, this guy's an awesome recruiter."
Okay. But who did they take and pass over him to give the Maryland job to after they canned Ralph Friedman?
Well, we'll get to that. Okay. I have to preface this because I think a lot of you have forgotten where he went after his first Maryland stint, which is he was the offensive coordinator for Ron Prince at K-State from 06 to 07.
A pair of princes shall lead them.
Yes. And his best offense there was 18th in terms of scoring. That's pretty good. They went 5-7 anyway, and everyone got fired. And he went back to Maryland where
they just got fired. Dad had to unretire.
Dad had to unretire, and we had to do some accounting. Like,
Dad,
some
who had made some
the
of
accounting.
The bitterest quotes I've ever seen on record against a coach's former program.
But he did remember that Ron Prince did reinstitute the power towel, okay? Which forever will live in our hearts. And yes, we get to Maryland, his second tenure, where he's with Fridge, and he's the OC, and 2 out of 3 years, they're pretty bad. They get to like 29th in terms of total scoring in 2010. But again, when James Franklin has a good offense as a coordinator, everyone gets fired anyway. And at that point, he was overlooked for the job. And this is the one point where you go, James, man, you got a point. He was overlooked for the Maryland gig in favor of Randy Edsall.
But he said it was his dream.
Yes, his dream gig to go to Maryland. He then takes the Vandy job. At Vandy, how many ranked teams did he beat when he was at Vandy?
I don't know, probably like 3 or 4.
I'm not saying he did a bad job at Vandy. Okay, he definitely raised the floor at Vandy.
Do you not know? You're just speculating wildly?
I only ask questions, counselor, if I already know.
I mean, he's only there for 3 years, so give me a sec and I'll find out.
No, I know it.
Oh, you do?
I do.
As surprised as the rest of us.
I am leading you because they beat when he was at Vandy, he won one game against ranked competition.
Against a team ranked at the time of the game.
Yes.
Number 15 Georgia in 2013.
An 8-5 Georgia team in 2013. That's the
Georgia
team.
Doesn't matter. Still happened.
It doesn't matter.
Was that the team that lost the Independence Bowl?
To Nebraska.
On the one hand, anytime Vandy beats Georgia, that is something.
And it was in the game.
Look, I get what you're trying to do here. And in some weird way, I appreciate it. But would you go 5-3 and 4-4 in conference play at Vanderbilt? Like, a thing that lots of good coaches have struggled to do. I just, like, or maybe even not even good coaches. Lots of coaches have struggled
period.
To do.
Period. If Bobby Johnson struggled to do it, right? And I think Bobby Johnson's a really good coach. This is like this is without a doubt James Franklin's best job. I am also saying the thing that you have seen at Penn State, and which we will outline here shortly, of against good competition, we butt our heads against the ceiling and are refused admission, that happens.
Okay? I think it's just about the best job anyone has done at modern Vandy, and you can stretch the word modern almost as far back, almost a century, right? And also, it was a really great time to do that festival.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Market conditions were favorable. But
this is another running running gag here, that market conditions, every time the market has to talk to James Franklin, it comes up and whispers sweet nothings in his ear and speaks kindly to him.
Sell.
Yeah, exactly.
Sell.
So then he makes the jump to Penn State. Let's just go ahead and review the numbers about where we get here. We get here despite all of this. Okay, we get here despite the record against ranked opponents being 12-24. All right, lifetime at Penn State. He is 12-24. Gets worse if you ratchet up that ladder and go against top 10 teams. James Franklin is 3-16 against top 10 teams lifetime at Penn State. And yeah, 4-15 against the Twin Towers of Ohio State and Michigan. We will stop falling for the Penn State might be consistently better than either of those teams, I think, when the heat death of the universe ensues and or James Franklin finally leaves this program. That is just not happening. Like, part of my anger when I was like, man, this is such a shit job, I cannot believe they looked this bad against Ohio State. I should have, because at no point have they done anything to really sort of dissuade me from thinking that, particularly against Ohio State, if not for fucking 2016, when one block field goal against Ohio State keeps the entire narrative of maybe James Franklin's going to turn this thing around and make this a top-tier
life
team.
Life is funny, isn't it?
Within his own division, right?
I think the thing is, he has raised Penn State to such a level of consistent, really goodness that it's easy to believe the Big Ten East is a Big Three when it's actually a Big Two.
Never making the turn. Like,
this
never.
Is also, these are also almost exactly the same things we used to say about Jim Harbaugh before Michigan started stealing signals and cheating and got really good. But like, this is very much the way people talked about Jim Harbaugh, which is like, sure, you can get 9 or 10 wins a season, but then when it really comes down to it, you can't win the big game, you can't beat the big dogs, like, You're just not ever going to take us to the next level.
Yeah, but Jim Harbaugh's in year 9. And we kind of got there with Harbaugh in what, year 7? Where we go, okay, maybe you're serious about this, okay? We're in year 9 of the Franklin regime, and it's not changing. If anything, you know, it's plateaued. I don't think it's getting worse, but I think this is as good as you're going to get. The other thing that, like, interested me when I went, okay, well, surely this is, you know, we've raised the floor and we're putting more people in the NFL, right? Like, as a selling point, you know, how many people are we putting in the NFL? Not that you're responsible as a college coach for that, but it is a point on the resume that you like to cite when you say you should come here because X.
It's also a very Big Ten thing.
It is also, yes, it is. We've improved your professional.
It's also an extremely Penn State thing to cite, hilariously.
Yes. 46 players have been drafted under Franklin. 31 are currently in the NFL. Let's just compare that to his peers. And I don't just mean Michigan, which 45 current Michigan players in the NFL, by the way, to the 31 currently for Penn State. Auburn has 32. And over that same span of time,
and Auburn didn't recruit for like 3 years.
Auburn didn't even recruit. Yeah, they phoned that shit in. Right?
So Auburn is Penn State's peer, you're saying?
In recruiting, yes.
They have played multiple times recently.
Texas, another program that has, we would argue, has frittered away a national treasure, a franchise worth of talent. Texas currently sitting with 36 players active in the NFL on rosters. And Texas has been a garbage fire of administrative mismanagement over the better part of James Franklin's tenure there. The one that kicked my ass, the one that I thought was the funniest, the one that confirms that sometimes there's a widget shop that only makes that widget, and you can only go there for said widget. With 40 currently active players in the NFL, the Iowa Hawkeyes trump Penn State's record on NFL talent.
Yeah, but 30 are tight ends.
That is correct. That is what I mean. Like, Iowa has become that German company that's like, yeah, we need to make the chicken annihilator. It's this terrible machine that takes the live chicken and turns it into a paste that could be made into chicken nuggets. And everyone's too horrified to make it. And the Ferentz family is like, yeah, we'll do that. We're good.
Wow.
Okay, so now what?
This all comes down to, how on earth did we get locked into this guy for a 10-year deal? A 10 a 10-year extension.
He's a good guy to be locked into. Like, they win 10 games every year. That's awesome. That's
they
great.
Do not win 10 games every year.
They win 10 games.
They have. They do. They do. They do sprinkle.
This
in
isn't an arguable point.
So, like, I think one part of it is there is a top tier in the Big Ten. It has been established. It is clear. There is a top tier, and Penn State is just below it, right? And that's a deeply frustrating place to be. Like, you're not Wisconsin, where everyone knows you're overachieving whenever Wisconsin gets to this level, right? Penn State, you have championship memories, or at least you have seen footage of your championships. Like, you have this sense that you're in the top tier, but it's just clear that you're just not, right? But you're the team that has to play the top tier every single year, both parts of it, right?
There are two reasons why this isn't going to matter anymore. One,
yes,
the
exactly.
The expanded Big Ten, they're not playing Ohio State and Michigan next year.
They don't mm-hmm. have any assigned rivals, which is the best Penn State news in, I don't even, since the Rose
right.
Bowl or whatever.
Right. The second thing is, when we move to the 12-team playoff, Penn State is the exact kind of team that's going to
benefit. Penn State's going
to
make
this.
It constantly, yeah.
And, like, that alone is going to change the point of view, the judgment of James Franklin. It's just going to be like, well, he's made the playoffs 5 years in a row.
I mean, the realignment thing, Penn State goes from 9 or 10 wins to 10 or 11 wins simply thanks to the realignment thing.
I would argue they're going to find someone else new to lose to regularly. That's I don't know who it's going to be, but James Franklin will find a way. But it won't matter because you are so locked into this dude just by virtue of, you know, every third year he's going to win 11 games, right? Like, we trash Kirk Ferentz for this. I think there's a model that James Franklin has figured out will work every single year, and y'all are stuck.
But the alternative, you are a Florida fan. I am a Florida fan. The alternative is not necessarily
the alternative
better.
Is cocaine spikes, baby, and lows.
Like, we have coaches at USC, Texas A&M, that were supposed to be like, oh, this is the guy who can get us to the next level, and the results are statistically the same or slightly worse.
Mm-hmm. I think firing Mark Richt for Kirby Smart is the exception that proves the rule.
Correct.
That if you have a coach that wins 10 games a year, fucking keep him.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Like, I know right now there's a lot of Penn State fans who, if we heard James Franklin Rivers, they would say, good, finally, about fucking time, right? But right now is a difficult, bruised moment.
mm-hmm. We're just going to put our thumb on that bruise a little bit more here. Hold on. Ooh. So, because it's never getting better, but it's not going
to
get much worse.
I really
worse.
Didn't expect this episode to be way meaner to Penn State than Michigan, but here we are.
Yeah. Well,
Michigan's
I don't know.
Only college football podcast against my will once again.
Yeah, when you decide your game plan is we'll nibble our way to glory with Drew Aller, I get angry.
I understand. I understand.
Because that's loser shit.
Can I ask a follow-up question to that?
Sure.
Does Penn State have, like, looking back at the Ohio State game, yes, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a revelation. Cade Stover also made some, like, great contested catches in that game. Does Penn State have a guy this year who's like, oh, this is the dude we can, do they have somebody who it's like, yeah, we can throw it up and we're confident he will fight for the ball and go get it?
No, and Franklin, to his own admission, wasn't going to do that. I just kind of have beef with you not even featuring your running backs.
Like, okay.
Their running backs, those are the best guys on the offensive side of the ball. And you're an offensive guy, allegedly. And you gave them each 9 fucking carries.
Okay.
9. And you go, well, Ohio State's defense is really good against the run. How would I know? How would I know? You threw the ball 42 goddamn times with a dude who basically by design you admitted, we're going to count on him to win the game, even though he can't win the game for us. That's it. You were attempting to belly crawl your way to victory against a team that was sprinting past you.
I'm sorry, you wanted to put the thumb on the bruise more, and I interrupted.
Oh yeah, no, I'll do that. You know, because again, also you're not going anywhere because as Jason said, yeah, you're probably going to win the same amount of games, and you might even ratchet up now that you're getting out of that permanent like Oklahoma drill with Michigan and Ohio State every year that you consistently lose, right? And yeah, you will get to the playoff more, even though, hey, you're 3-16 against top 10 teams. That's going to be a blowout every single time you end up in the playoff. You might upset one of them, but on the whole, you're going to win like 10%. You're going to win 10% of those games, Ryan. There's numbers.
What
this dude's never going to be better than that.
What if you play Notre Dame, huh? 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 What if you play Notre Dame? You're going to beat
Notre
Dame.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if you catch that TCU team. Oh, wait.
See, we're talking Penn State. We're talking like, okay, you can't clock in at 1, 2, 3, or 4, right? That's a step. You've been five, right? You've been really close.
Yeah.
We're aiming for that second tier where you're going to face, I mean, you might fucking face the mid-major champ, right?
Mm. You're still
that team. There was one year where that Penn State Memphis, that might have been a playoff quarterfinal.
Right. That's
whatever.
True. That's
they would have won that.
Would they have? I mean, like, I don't know.
They did win it.
I mean, I don't like the numbers. I don't.
Okay.
But they happened.
Okay.
You know, they can happen. I just don't think it's real probable year in and year out. Especially, this is it. You go, well, how good are we going to be? And they're like, well, it depends on who we draw. That's not, if you want it to be in the upper tier, that's not the question, right?
Who are Penn State's, I mean, I don't expect a list, but like, who are Penn State's top 10 opponents that aren't Ohio State and Michigan? Like,
I would have to look those up.
Yeah.
The teams that they've played and lost to?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I would have to go back and look that up. And if you
was just like, is there like a road game against Iowa in there or whatever? Or whatever. You know, that type of shit. But
they've been pretty
I would be interested to see that list. Not to say like you shouldn't expect to compete with those teams, but also like if you are doing much better against the teams that you were favored against, you know, that might change things for me.
Yeah. The last thing is this: his current buyout. Dude has a $64.67 million buyout, which, as a side note, Kirby's is $92 million. Just soak in the fact that there's a college coach out there with a $92 million buyout that they're never going to exercise. Never. Like, I cannot think of a circumstance where you would ever actually see that number in play. It's a fiction. But still, goddamn. $92 million. How did
Jason,
we get that?
There are a couple of Michigan State teams that are in that top 10 in like 2015, 2014.
I think Wisconsin is top 10 when they faced them in the Big Ten
when
championship.
When they beat them in the Big Ten championship, yes. They lost to USC in the Rose Bowl that year. USC was number 9. I am continuing to look.
Yeah, but so in September of 2021, if you want to go like important moments that'll lock you into this for the next decade. In September of 2021, James Franklin makes a critical roster decision by switching reps to CAA and Jimmy Sexton. On October 23rd, 2021, Penn State and James Franklin, after rumors that he's going to take the vacant USC job that Clay Helton lost, they announce a 10-year extension. 10 years. If you want to know how you ended up here, that's how you ended up here. At every single moment, I think you should just take James Franklin's entire career as the model of how to do it. You need friends who are going to spread good rumors for you. You need a fantastic agent. You need somebody to block a field goal for you. And you need to be like just good enough. Be just good enough to take everybody to like the next tier and don't worry about getting to like the S tier. That's fine.
Like,
it's good to be really good.
Is this Gus Malzahn at Auburn? There are a lot of differences there, but is there some element of like
the? I don't know if you can compare anything to Auburn one to one
because Gus beat Bama regularly.
No, I was going to say because the administration there is so volatile that I feel like it colors everything it touches. Right.
Okay. Well, we think about the moves Auburn has made since, and how many times that people have thought, well, you could have just kept Gus, right?
Right.
Even though you wanted rid of Gus real bad, and Gus hit various ceilings, there's a scenario where Penn State is happy to be rid of Franklin, and everyone thinks, well, you should have just kept Franklin. Mm-hmm.
Which could completely happen.
Yep.
And that fear is one of the things that will keep him there for a really long time.
That's one reason to keep him.
Yeah, one reason to keep him. The alternative's going to be worse.
Here's just a rant, kind of a random stat, but like over the past 5 years, I didn't think about which number of years, just five. As a favorite, Penn State wins 84% of the time, which might sound either good or bad. But the teams that's better than Auburn, Oklahoma, LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee,
Ole Miss,
USC, A&M, Texas. Like
that makes sense because I think Ole Miss is not favored in a lot of the games.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Right, like they lost to Bama. It's like, yeah, Bama was favored.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm saying Penn State as a favorite is relatively quite reliable.
Yeah, I think you get to that point where they're reliably here. You can't see, listener, but you know.
Yeah, but how realistic here. Is it? How realistic is it to like constantly be constantly, you know?
It would be realistic to want more. Like I was thinking,
but,
like
no, but there is a structural thing going on here, which more, I don't know that James Franklin can control. More.
Right.
Like there are. What is the last conference that had three really awesome teams? There are conferences that will have two. There's those years where you're like Stanford and Oregon are so good in the Pac-12, and USC sucks. And UCLA sucks, and Washington sucks. Like, you're seeing it in the Pac-12 now, where it's sort of like, it's really, really hard to have three awesome teams at the same time.
I'm thinking
the
of
SEC
that year.
SEC can't do it.
Like that Bama, Georgia, Manziel, A&M year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, I think there is inevitably a bronze medalist that by virtue of being third, everybody is like, well, you just can't get it done. But mm-hmm. I think these things are structured, and because of the way conferences are structured and the way the playoff is structured right now, like in the NFL, if you're a wild card team, nobody cares. Nobody's like, oh, I'm so mad we didn't win the NFC South. If you get in the playoffs, it's fine. Who
no
gives
one
a
wins
shit?
The NFC South.
But like the way it's shaping up now, it's like this game matters. Losing to Ohio State matters so much. Matters so much more than anything else, with the exception of the Michigan game, that Penn State can do the rest of the year.
It's a different, yeah, it's the scale of the math changes there, right? It's like what Spencer was saying a few minutes ago about the effort in trying to get to S tier. You know, it takes half of your energy to get from 0 to 90 on a 100-point scale, and the other half of your energy is getting from 90 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think we as the public don't really recognize enough. Administrations definitely don't seem to heed that math, but
there's also all these like weird timing things that have to line up that like,
well, everybody wants to until it happens to them, and we generally only talk about it in terms of going undefeated. Everybody wants to discount luck.
Yes, sure.
Because we can't monetize it. And because we can't put a stat on it, you know, you analytics kids. But the amount of there's still some, because of these huge moving parts and these huge organizations and weather and
injuries,
you know, snapping ACLs and grades and hurricanes. There's still so much of this huge sprawling sport that we cannot control and we cannot control for.
Yeah, and some of it is just sort of like you have to take good guesses. Like,
right, and every year, all of it is going to hit somebody.
Right, right.
And you're going to say, oh, you can't get it done.
And I think, I guess where I land is sort of like, I struggle to identify who will do this better at mm-hmm. Penn State.
Yeah, this is something else that people, I think we're good at beating this drum. I think Split Zone Duo is good at beating this drum. I don't think there's many other people, especially in decision-making positions, that are in charge of beating this drum. But the second you start to think about getting rid of a coach, the absolute first question has to be, and it's not usually, but it has to be, for who?
Yeah, but if I'm giving you, if I say, here is your team, mm-hmm. and you have to win a very important game, that he's not an answer, right?
What, like, if it's about building a team to win an important game?
If I have to build a team to win an important game?
And you don't get first choice. You don't get to choose Saban.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to choose Kirby.
Yeah, that's the thing. None of these choices are happening in a vacuum. And you've got, we haven't even talked about the ever-growing specter of the CAA Death Star having their own hand in this.
Oh, boy. Entirely.
there's an entire other army of different orcs
wait.
To put it in terms that our audience will understand, hiding over this hill that have not even made their faces shown yet.
Also, I want to go
not,
back.
Not orcs. They're the. I was trying to do the third day of Lord of the Rings, and that's not orcs. That's Rohan.
In all fairness, if you had asked me back in 2021, would you hire Lincoln Riley or James Franklin to take the USC job? Brother, you know I would have chosen Lincoln Riley. I would have been like, yeah, man, that's hot.
I had not put money on Lincoln Riley becoming as irritating as James Franklin.
I mean, if you made that choice now, who would you take?
Is Alex,
I don't know.
Is Alex Grinch coming?
Is the Grinch there?
I know who I hired. I know who I trust to hire a defensive coordinator a lot more, and that's James Franklin.
Because who's Lincoln once Caleb leaves?
That was such a good country. Mm-hmm. It ain't fitting.
I mean, if independent of who's transferring with the coach, I might take Franklin over Riley.
God, I might too, and I don't like how that makes me feel. Ugh.
So we're trying to make everyone happy here. We're trying to give USC a defense, and Penn State, we're trying to get you a new coach. You want a new coach. There you go. Yeah. Everyone's happy.
I think there is also a slight...
Yeah, this is a... Sorry, Ryan.
There is also maybe like a slight way to twist the top 10 games thing. Mm. Penn State doesn't get dominated in those games. Penn State doesn't get just destroyed in most of those games.
You're making a Michigan State argument, losing with dignity.
No, I think it's important. I think it's important because, like, it at least shows me that, like, the distance between where they are and what you're talking about is shorter than at some other places.
Spencer, you don't think context matters in a loss?
It's very. It matters. Okay. It matters. I just did want to point it out too.
So, I think over the past. Last seven non-COVID seasons, assuming this season becomes a 10-win season for Penn State, they'll be averaging 10 wins a year. 10 wins a year, a couple breaks. That is what almost every program should be hoping for.
Mm-hmm. It's also like, look, UNC just lost to a previously not very good UVA team. And Penn State doesn't have a lot of those. And like, I know just like, eating your meal properly and not spilling it all over your lap is not something you get a lot of credit for.
But it's not something every team can do.
Right.
This is a very, by the way, that's an interesting comparison to bring up. Because this is a very Mac Brownish record.
Yes. Yes. Well, and like, you know what? On a long enough timeline, Mac Brown won a national title at Texas. He needed a like transcendent talent to get to
it. Most people do. Yeah.
Yes, right. And so, like, maybe it is. You know, I think back to, like, the 2000 Oklahoma team that had that amazing run of injury luck where they, like, had, like, two starter games missed all season or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe that is the kind of thing that will have to happen for James Franklin to break through. Maybe it will have to be the dominoes fell in the right way this season. I don't know.
But I don't think that takes away from anybody because the dominoes have to file the right way for everybody. That's true for every single team.
Yes, but I will to weirdly defend Spencer here. I think there are some coaches who can bend to less ideal circumstances better than others. Like, look, the fact that Alabama still only has one loss after the way things seem to be going is, I think, a credit to the coaching staff of figuring out, like, we are learning more about what this is not the exact team we would like to have in all circumstances. We are learning what to do with it to make it work.
If Georgia had to play Ohio State every year, Georgia would need breaks. How do I know that? They needed one to start this calendar year.
Yes.
Yeah. The clock struck midnight.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That is, I also have the nightmare of this, that James Franklin gets that transcendent talent and then he forgets how many timeouts he has in the fourth quarter or takes an intentional safety at the wrong time.
I think maybe the parallel I like now is this feels a little bit like Clemson when things were really rolling, but you're in the Big Ten instead of the ACC when it was super down.
And you don't have a transcendent quarterback. That's the one
right,
thing.
Yes, like, sure, which has like, also like been a major issue for Clemson now.
Like, that to me is the valid critique, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Serber, we're talking so much about Clemson. But what, you know, we're not talking about the Eagles putting the fucking whoop on the Dolphins. That's what.
What the fuck, man?
Like, slam on dolphins out of nowhere. This was a pro marine mammal episode.
We've had so much positive dolphins talk until now.
Ryan, you want to fuck
with
Well,
you shouldn't have played the fucking birds. Ryan, how confident are you in your fills tonight?
Ryan, you want to fuck with the people we just... People, you want to fuck with the creatures we just made guardians of our system of justice?
I apologize.
Ryan, people are going to hear this after we know how your Phillies did.
It's important to know that I am an Eagles fan, a third-party Phillies observer, and I have nothing.
Well, the Phillies thing is new.
No, I think the Phillies are fun, but I'm
are you
not.
Voting? Okay. Are you voting present?
That's yes, what you're doing.
I was assigning you all Philadelphia fandoms.
No. And this is the most
only,
important
It's
thing.
Only funny and not funny in baseball because he's a Mets fan.
I have nothing to do.
You got
to
leave him with the Mets.
That's true.
Yeah.
Godfrey,
yeah.
I know you already have
NL East allegiance.
What the fuck is wrong with you? To say that, Godfrey.
Listen,
this is the most important thing. I have nothing to do with the Philadelphia 76ers, and I never will.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. No, that's the correct.
No circumstances.
I can't believe you wouldn't trust the process.
Yeah. Also, you're not ready to be a Flyers fan. You need some serious blood cult initiations to get involved.
I don't think I know any actual Flyers fans.
Yes, that's because none of them have the internet. They all dwell in caves underground, drink blood. Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah, you're not ready for that, Ryan. That's not your life.
No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Like, the two things I feel most confident in sports-wise, I'm not a Titans fan and I'm not a 76ers fan, and those are both good choices on my part.
Wise.
But I love this idea, by the way, that, like, I think I want to end on a positive since I was so negative. I want to go ahead and say, this is actually a negative, but I'm going
to end on a positive. Jesus.
Which is
a positively stated negative.
I have made very few really universally good choices in my life. I think one of them was deciding at a very young age I was never going to fucking touch the Falcons. Like, my dad got me a Falcons jacket when I was in second grade, and I was like, I don't know about that. Just because of where we lived, and you go, yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah.
And I think that was a very good decision on my part.
Yeah. I think
Dion played there when I was at an impressionable age. So,
yeah, you have an excuse. With it. Yeah,
I think it's important to remember that it's always a choice. Which of these, as much as we like to sort of say like I was born into it, it's like it's always a choice. You don't have to be a fan of X team forever. You can just walk away.
I was born into it. It's not a blood feud.
It's the DeSher Zone meme. Just walk away. Yes. It doesn't matter.
It's great. It's like, wonderful that we can have tribalism without the actual tribes.
It is possible to choose how much you care. And there's this thing that we're told goes along with it. If you don't care about the losses, you can't care about the wins. No, you can get to a place where that's not true.
That's only true for the Detroit Lions.
Go Vols.
But you can get to a place where the losses happen and they're funny. And yes. You still feel the victories.
Also, yep. Go Vols.
That's true. Duval.
Again, I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan.
Yeah, that's another very positive decision I made because I went to Florida around the same time when Jags fandom was like cranking up, and you go, I don't know, is that a bandwagon you want to get on? And like, it's a lot like
you don't want none of this shit.
It is a lot like catching a friend on that. Like, well, I'm gonna start doing this drug. How about you? And you go, right, no. Right. And then like 5 years later, you're like, now you don't own
back.
A house.
Let's wind the clock back to 1995. 40-year-old Spencer has a decision to make.
Yes.
Panthers fan, Jaguars fan.
There's no winning. The only way to win is not to play. Right?
Teal or dark teal.
I will not Duval. I will not keep
it's
pounding.
Both good colors for you, though. They make your eyes pop.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
That's
that.
That's tough because you get to really enjoy the Cam Newton years, even though they didn't win that Super Bowl.
The thing is that the Jaguars had a really cool team for a while. They had Fred Taylor. They had Keenan McCardell, right? They had Tony Baselli. They had
mascots on fire.
Mascots on fire jumping off of light towers and shit.
I think Cerber is alluding to this, but there was a weird sense I got that, like, Cam Newton was, for a certain subset of Panthers fan, not their favorite player. Like, not that beloved.
Yeah, like, I remember my friend's group of those who were Panthers fans, they all like Cam Newton. We're all in agreement, like, this dude's pretty awesome. But, like, the older fan base was just not, they were not fucking down with it, and no one was, and I think there was also, I got a weird impression from Panthers fans that, like, because of the schism that occurred between Steve Smith and Cam Newton, and, like, the idea that, like, Steve Smith wasn't good for the locker room because he wouldn't give Cam a chance to be the leader of the locker room. Pissed
Do
people off because everybody loves Steve Smith so much. and you don't fuck with Steve Smith. But being here, and to your question of asking Spencer, like, make a choice, I made that choice and chose the Miami Dolphins because it was at 6 years old, the Panthers became a franchise, and I lived in South Carolina. And I was just like, nope, my dad has all these shirts. I'm going to choose these shirts. And even though the Panthers have been to two Super Bowls, way more playoffs, won the division many more times than the Dolphins at that time, I still feel I made the proper decision. And just Carolina fans are always miserable. Like, they've never been happy. And they've always been teetering on the edge of, like, going 6-10 the next year at every chance they've
had.
But
everything you're describing is, like, change it to literally any other NFC South team, and I'm like, yes.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. The NFC South is a curse. Ever since it was founded, it was a curse. It was always a curse division. It's made of NFC West and NFC Central teams.
6-10 might be.
None of which are in the West or the Central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to thank Server for putting in my head a scenario in which, at one point during the Cam Newton era, a GM or someone in the front office went to a whiteboard and they wrote down needs and they selected player who can beat up Steve Smith. We need someone else to come in and beat Steve Smith's ass so that there is a power balance and Cam can take. And I like that this also entertains the scenario that they could not find a player who, like, they went in and they're like, do you think you can beat up Steve Smith? And every single prospect was like, no, I cannot.
Absolutely. That should be a combine event.
Fighting a holographic Steve Smith.
Just slapbox this robot, Steve Smith.
We've calibrated this robot to be exactly as mean as Steve Smith. Like, Boston Technologies is working on the Slapbot 3000.
Be like, I don't understand. I'm a tight end. Fight him! Fight him!
I assume we're winding down just because maybe we're not. That's fine. It's fine either way. Can I ask y'all a quick trivia question?
Yeah, please.
Yes.
The college football playoff rankings are coming out a week from this recording, the debut of the rankings for the year. There will be a shakeup. It's very hard to imagine Georgia will be number one. It's okay. It's not a big deal. This happened a year ago. Can you tell me the two teams currently ranked in the AP Top 25 that have, at this time, only one win each over FBS opponents with winning records, which is a very crude strength of schedule metric used by the playoff committee.
Ooh.
That only have one?
Each of these teams have one
FBS
win
each over a winning opponent. A 500 or better, let's say that.
In the top 25?
AP top 25 teams, yes.
Oh. I know it's not Florida State.
Florida State has a lot. They got five.
Yeah.
Does Michigan even have one yet?
Michigan has five.
Yeah, Michigan's okay. Actually fine.
UNLV counts as a decent win now.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
UNLV is who should get the Big
Bowling
Ten.
Green is 500.
Is one of them Duke? Because they lost two of their ranked games.
Duke has two.
Oh, what shit. Okay.
Is UNC still ranked? Football.
UNC is still ranked.
UNC has one? Three.
Really? Oh, okay.
I don't know.
One of them is Air Force. No real shame there. They haven't played very many, right?
Hello, ranked Air Force. I didn't see you there.
The other is Georgia.
Really?
Do you know what's really funny about that? Besides everything you just said? Are you saying that James Madison has more of those wins than Georgia?
Oh, yeah. James Madison has stacked up some good wins.
Jamie has four. Like, it's a crude metric. It doesn't say everything. And, like, there is no, like, shame or
funny.
Valor or what. Yes.
Is it just Kentucky? Is Kentucky the other one?
But the thing with Georgia is they're probably about to start piling up. Florida, you're joining the list.
Hey.
And then there's Ole Miss. And then there's Mizzou, an awesome win available, apparently, right? The next month for Georgia could be when they start to earn the ranking they've accrued to this point. I'm just saying, prepare yourself for Georgia won't be number one, and it'll be a big, loud thing, but they shouldn't be. And it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
I like the preemptive calm blanket, the weighted blanket we are laying over the kicking legs.
The other thing is, like, Kirby gets to say, nobody believes in you. Kirby gets to lie about that.
What is the lowest you can see Georgia going in the opening?
How brave are they? Because, like, Ohio State's going to be number one unless something crazy happens. Michigan, you can lock them in at number two, I think. They're off this week anyway.
Is Oklahoma not flirting with either of those?
Oklahoma's up there. Oklahoma
is
up there. Plus, they have a quality win to add this week. FSU. FSU is another with a top four argument as well. So, like, how crazy do they want to get? Do they want to put Georgia at five? Do you? Dare you? Dare you to do it?
God! God.
Have just, Georgia. Next team out. Do it. I want to see the graphic.
Boy. I'm just a little old boy from Bainbridge.
Fucking hell. Y'all yeah,
don't believe in poor little old me at five.
It'd be funnier if they named it by outlet. The Saudi Daisy Telegraph of Ottawa, Tennessee.
Doesn't believe
hated
in Kirby.
Michigan State.
Yeah. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
No, I know the Saudi Daisy the team that, aren't the same thing.
If the playoff committee was dropping rankings tonight, the team that would fly up them is Kansas State. Kansas State is quite underrated right now.
But for that kick against Missouri!
Which is now an awesome result.
Yes, correct.
That's the best is that you're like, who's the demon who stands between us and a playoff ranking? Harrison Meavis!
By the way, right. Also, who was on this suspicious eye cocked at Mizzou train early? Us.
Actually, good Mizzou.
I don't remember that, but I don't remember
I would
we'll
also
take credit
like to,
for it.
I would also like to point out that
all right,
you're
this is
going to
upset everybody.
Kansas
Spencer
State
was.
Wildcats.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I haven't updated the thing, but yes, Server did take the Kansas State Wildcats in his playoff.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I've got to.
What if Mizzou beats Georgia? What will that do to the college football
teams? First of all, the amount of cash shit talked by one Eli Drinkwitz in that game cannot be measured. Unquantifiable. Infinite. The limit does not exist.
We're going to have to revise our opinions of Eli, and I don't feel like doing it, but I will.
We view Georgia's schedule as nothing happens until the Tennessee game, but there's a couple things happening before the Tennessee game.
If you want the funniest
possible
result. If Tennessee
can put together, that might not even happen then if Tennessee can't reassemble an O-line out of graham crackers.
Georgia's 0-3 streak.
Oh, God, it tickles.
8-3 Georgia rolls into Atlanta. I mean Georgia Tech Stadium.
Can't you just hear Gary like, not the season Georgia was thinking they'd have? Because he kind of gets this, he gets this little sing-songy voice when he's trying to be a mean old biddy.
Well, to be fair,
like,
they had to play Mizzou.
Georgia didn't think this was going to go this way.
You can translate that for Gary, which is, holy crap, they put
holy
this one in the shitter.
Fucking shit.
Yeah, that's, yeah. They've been a little disappointed.
I want to see the graphic pop up. Gary's annual argument for the SEC title game loser
Mizzou
to make
the
playoffs anyway.
Mizzou wins the SEC title.
Sure.
Penn State beats Michigan to win and wins the Big Ten title.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Mizzou beats Penn State in the semifinals.
Okay. Now do the Pac-12.
Yeah. Now,
two Pac-12 teams in the playoff.
Utah and
Washington.
Washington.
Yeah.
The Let's Big do 12 it.
I love it.
Big 12, Big 12 out, sorry.
And then we get a Missouri-Utah national championship.
I love it.
The
attended
dream.
Attended
the
by
dream. Are we
thousands.
Time traveling?
Yeah, that Utah
attended
wins.
Attended by us, man. That's a time travel.
That Utah wins 19-4.
Oh, that Utah wins on some bullshit call.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, both these teams.
Sixth down? What do you mean sixth down?
I love this assault on ESPN where it's like, we gave you TCU last year and, yo, you griped about it. Well, here comes, guess what? Here comes two TCUs.
Meanwhile, undefeated JMU just standing on the side. Fucking let us play!
Let's go! Let us in!
Oh, it gets even better because you remember where this, you remember where this is all happening, right?
No.
Where the title game is this year.
Is it Houston?
It is in Houston. Yeah. So, TCU and Texas fans.
Yep.
Get to watch it. A&M fans, I didn't think you guys were agitating for a national championship, so I didn't include you there.
I cannot wait for Eli Drinkwitz to beat Georgia now, because if that happens, what would make a Georgia fan madder than a nerd? Like, Will Muschamp's going to be so heated. He's like, I bet he can read!
A nerd with a Bible name.
It's what's great is they're all going to be like, his hair's so stupid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. His hair's stupid. Put that on the memo we send to every Georgia fan so they can have one thought this week about an opponent.
Blowing
his hair
chili
is dumb.
Bowl bangs out of their face.